Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Evan Cool, Dr. Drew.
I'm not modeling anymore for the two of you.
Loveline.
It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, the guest is the love that the two hosts find between each other.
Once again.
Lit will be in here tomorrow night, though.
That and the love you seem to experience with your listeners.
That's right. I love each and every one of them. Just as long as they play nice. Lit are not only a good band, but a good bunch of guys. So they'll be in here tomorrow night. And then Stone Temple Pilots, who I've never met.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Huh.
Nobody in the band.
You're such a big star. I understand that.
I'm a huge star. What do you mean big? Colossal.
Colossal.
Yeah. I'm a huge C-level star. And I've never met Stone Temple Pilots. So they'll be out there.
What has Adam got to be miserable about? Why is he so miserable all the time?
That's the beauty of me. Let me tell you something. I have not let fame or fortune ruin my misery. Here's what I've done in my life. I've realized I'm not miserable. I'm just a little strung out right now because, for instance,
you have to work.
You know,
for instance,
the Corollas. Well, you know how some families are allergic to certain substances and just runs in the blood,
milk, or
they can be passed along from one generation to the next.
Yeah.
For Corollas, it's work.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I've seen it.
I mean, my dad was a slacker for the most part. His father was a sort of a no-count musician who, you know, was barely employed, who let mom do all the work and did some womanizing and was killed in a car crash on the way to a rare gig, when my dad was like 16 or something like that. But I come from a long line of Italian male slackers. I should be sitting out front of some general store somewhere in Italy. Yeah, get like drunk by noon, like making cat calls and maybe playing like a little trumpet or a fiddle or something.
And then bocce ball at night.
And bocce ball at night and a good long 4-hour nap every day. Not because I'm tired from work, but because I'm loaded at 11:15 in the morning.
But you were going to say, you were about your working. And you said.
Oh, well, like. Tomorrow, for instance, we're shooting Hanukkah with Goldberg, the famous wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to kick some Santa ass, by the way. But, you know, we got an 8 o'clock call time tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow night is Politically Incorrect from the Playboy Mansion.
Uh-oh.
That's for me. I think you're doing it another night. I hope you're doing it tomorrow night, and I'm not doing it till Wednesday, but I'm pretty sure I'm doing it tomorrow night, and you're doing it another night.
I'm pretty sure it's next week. It better be next week, or I was supposed to do it today.
I'm pretty sure I'm doing it tomorrow.
Are they doing it 2 weeks there? Because I got a choice of a Monday or a Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
And I chose a Monday.
Oh, if it's not tomorrow, I'm going to be excited.
Yeah. One of us is in trouble. One of us is wrong.
I hope it's me.
Yeah.
All right.
I hope it is, too.
We got to call Howard during the break or something and try to figure that out. But the point is now you got me excited, you son of a bitch. I could possibly be getting out of something. But the point is the Playboy, Politically Incorrect, films at 8:30 tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much leave the house at 7:45. Go on through. I'll be home at 12:30.
Yeah.
That's 17 hours. Feeling good. I'll give myself a nice 6 hours of miserable, tormented sleep tonight. And I like to torture myself because I don't sleep as well when I know that thing's going off.
If you really enjoyed your work, it would be like...
Oh, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. Mary? You're 19. I do enjoy this show, though. I really do.
Listen, the fact that we drag our butts in here, both of us after long days, and we are into it every night, speaks for itself, I think. I mean, we're kind of into it. But you know what I mean?
I'm not trying to get any sympathy or sound like some sort of prince, but I do feel compelled to say that I make plenty of money and should have quit this show a year and a half ago.
But we're into this.
We are.
Yeah.
We certainly are. Mary?
That's a damn lie, and you know it!
All right. We're not into it every night, but two or three nights a week, we're into it. Let's be fair. Mary?
Yes?
What's going on?
I went to the doctor today because yesterday I had, me and my boyfriend were having sex and our condom broke.
Uh-oh.
And I went to go get an morning after pill, but he just gave me a birth control pill and told me to take four of them today and four tomorrow.
That's what the morning after pill is. Morning after pill is just a birth control pill.
It's okay then?
That's what it is. You can get it prepackaged as something called Prevens or Plan B.
Yeah, that's what I
said. But you can also take Overal, Loworal, Aleph, that's even the triphasic pills. You can take all these different pills and you just take them. It's the very point I always make about this pill. Not only does it work like the usual birth control pill, it is a birth control pill.
Oh, I didn't see, because I was reading Glamour or whatever, and it told me to call 1-800 or 1-888
not to. That's to get the prepackaged stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a little less expensive sometimes if they've got the pill on hand just to give you the package.
Yeah, I guess they gave me, but it's kind of like a doctor just gets you in and out.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if he wasn't really listening to me.
Now, which one is it? Which pill do you get?
It's just a regular birth control pill package.
What's the name of the package?
I don't know.
Let's read what's on the package.
I don't even know. It's not even...
Mary, but I'm glad you had the presence of mind to go get the morning after combination.
Yeah. God bless you.
So just take that.
You're one of our heroines.
That's right.
Really.
All right?
Okay.
Well, God bless Glamour for having something of worth in those pages.
Well, it was just an ad, I think, wasn't it? Mary?
It was like a little thing in it.
It was a little blurb?
Yeah, I'm like... What happens if, I don't know, if you don't
want to
get pregnant, like what you can do.
All right, I'm softening my stance on those magazines.
Right behind a 14-page article called Blow Your Way to the Top. 25 tips to work your way up the corporate ladder through sexual means. Listen, I saw a Vogue lying around somewhere the other day, and I just looked at the front, and it was, ten erogenous zones, he doesn't know about, for him. And I started reading it as I was like thumbing through it. It was like, underneath the armpit, along the upper arm, he'll go insane. He'll go insane because he thinks he's going to get a BJ in 5 minutes. He's not going insane because you're mussing with his bicep.
He's going insane because he's bored.
He's going insane because he figures, listen, if this chick's licking my armpit, her mouth's going to be in my crotch in a matter of moments. He's not going to go insane. I don't know who they test this crap out on, by the way.
Women.
They must. Let me tell you, the erogenous zone for the man is the penis. That's it. The small circles you do around the inner thigh, how the behind the knee is an erogenous zone on. Nonsense. Here's what behind the knee is good for. If the penis has been burnt off somehow... if there's some kind of, oil pipe explodes and the guy's genitalia is completely destroyed and beyond repair, then start licking the inside of his knee.
Out of sympathy. Not because you're getting it from
at that point, you're cutting your losses, you're taking what you can get.
Right.
But here's what I want to say as a guy, and I think I speak for all men. If you're not going to do anything except for lick the backside of the knee, then go ahead and lick the backside of the knee. Fine. I'll take the effort. But if you're working your way up to a BJ or some intercourse, get right to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're right. Pornos aren't filled with
licking the inside of a knee.
Yeah.
It's like saying men love hamburgers, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, what if we just took it and gave them half a pickle and then a little crumble of ground beef, and then we spread a little dollop of mayo on their finger. They could consume the entire burger, just sort of one little smear at a time. No, we want the whole goddamn thing, and we don't need five things going into it. We want one big fat thing we put our mouth into. These ridiculous articles. I'd love the guy who'd inspired this article. I'd love to talk to this guy. Ten erogenous. Ten.
I just want
to
call him out here and kick his ass.
I really do. Yes, my new policy.
It's such waste of time and energy.
Oh, to get them going, all these different directions.
That's where the glass ceiling is sort of created.
Yeah.
Women are held down by this crap.
Tyler?
Hey, how you doing?
You're 15. What's up?
Yeah, Dr. Drew, I just want to congratulate you on DrDrew.com.
Thanks, Tyler.
It's helped me out a lot of situations.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Your free condoms, too, has helped me out a lot of sticky situations.
Whatever. Whatever you mean by that.
I called you guys about a month ago. I'm the stalker guy, if you remember me. The 15-year-old that was obsessed with his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Sounding vaguely familiar. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, anyway, and you guys told me that it's nothing really to worry about. And all that's really done in the last month has gotten really, really worse.
Well, maybe now something to worry about. What's happening?
A couple nights ago, I was digging through her trash.
What were you looking for?
I don't know.
She's hungry. Yeah, all right.
I don't know what I was looking for. And it's really...
Well, wait a minute. How old is she?
She is 14 now.
She doesn't have trash at 14. Her parents have trash.
Yeah, that's what, kind of like what I discovered last night.
You're just trying to get a piece of her.
Yeah.
I know, but how do you know which lean cuisine she ate? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
What? How long were you with this woman, girl?
I never dated her.
Oh, yeah.
That's
healthy. What is your ultimate goal? Would it be like a tampon or a maxi pad or what? You know, when you're going through the garbage, do you think you're going to find a piece of her ass or something in there? I mean, what are you going to find in there? You know what I mean?
I really couldn't tell you because I didn't know what I was looking for.
What did you come up with?
I came up with some old schoolwork of hers.
Nice. Well, that's a keeper.
That's about it.
Okay.
And anyway, my friends are even starting to be creeped out from that, me now.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get into that violent capacity. I've had a couple dreams and nightmares and stuff like doing that kind of stuff.
Now, why is it you're so obsessed with somebody you've never had a relationship with?
Probably because I never had a relationship with her. That's probably why.
Yeah, but then what about the rest of the women on the planet you've never had a relationship with?
Well, I've never, I don't know, if I haven't really wanted them, then...
I see. All right. And did you ever ask her out?
Many times.
Oh, many times.
Mm-hmm.
She said no?
She didn't say no, but she didn't say yes. She was kind of like, well, we'll see. You know,
does she know that she's being stalked?
Yeah, she does now. Because yeah. She heard me last time on the show.
Oh, she did?
Oh, yeah, she did, because she came up to me the next day at school and was pretty pissed.
Wow.
And she's probably listening right now.
All right. Well,
hi.
You sound, I'd like to say hi to her, too, if you don't mind. Hi.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Tyler.
Yeah, what's up?
You're starting to give me the creeps a little bit.
Well, I'm giving everyone the creeps.
All right. Well, you think you could get yourself a little help before you do something stupid?
Well, where would I go to get that help? I don't know.
That's a good question.
Where should I turn to?
Drew, what do you think?
I'm getting a real feel from this.
I'm starting to get something weird. I'm starting to get, maybe it's just last night or something, but I'm starting to get like a non...
It's too matter of fact. There's no... I don't know. Let's assume it's real, which it may not be.
No, you're right. I wasn't getting a true creepiness off him. I was getting a more creepy, like, he's making this up, the kind of creepiness I was getting. But on the other hand, he said she heard him on the radio.
Maybe part of the story. I don't know. Be that as it may, let's assume it's true. This may evolve into psychotic stalking. This is the real thing.
Well, listen, he's going through garbage.
If what he's describing is what he's doing. And there is no alternative for him. There's two alternatives. Police intervention or medical intervention.
Well, what do you mean medical intervention?
Did he seek help for his mental health?
All right, where does he go for that?
He could try to start with his doctor. I'm sure the school system has got mental health services there, counseling services.
Yeah.
He probably will need medication. But if he doesn't, he's going to have something with the law next.
Okay.
He has two choices.
All right. So go to your school and get some counseling. And you know what? I think schools are starting to become hip to this kind of
thing. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
I mean, when I went to school...
They know what they're talking about. This was. They would never heard of this.
Well, no, here's what counselors did. They went, listen, this guy's going to Stanford. You might want to join the military. That's what a counselor was for. Yeah. He helped you with your schedule. You never really even talked to him about anything, did you?
But the kind of stalking that young males were doing really wasn't even known. I mean, adolescents have just been sort of invented.
I'm sure there are plenty of screwballs out there.
Yeah, but they didn't tell anybody.
Your counselor was more of a warden than he was a counselor.
Right.
You're trying to avoid the guy.
Right.
Gets into trouble. Andrew?
Yeah.
You're 24.
How you doing?
And by the way, if my counselor, Mr. Tomey, is listening, kiss my ass.
Yeah, anyway.
Ceramics major, please.
For about
year and a half or so, I had a eating disorder. I would, a combination of bulimia, and I would just straight starve myself. I started eating again, and I went to, I've seen a psychiatrist. I'm not medicated because I pretty much refuse to be. But my body, I gained a whole bunch of weight, and what she said to me was because the body had been starved so bad, now that it's now storing food. My question is, when will it kind of go back to normal? When will my metabolism go back to normal?
Well, there's two things that happen. We're using laxatives and that sort of thing also?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. What are you up to now?
I'm up to 265. I was over 300 pounds. I'm 6'2", so.
Yeah, all right.
Well, there's a lot of what the weight is right now is swelling. You notice your legs are swollen?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the weight. So it's not so much that you're metabolically sort of so used to trying to cling to any calories that you serve up to your body. It's also that your fluid, your kidney's been sort of, not damaged, but stressed by all this, and now it just hangs on to fluid like crazy. And that takes 1 to 3 months to get better. So there's that fluid part. As far as the behavior of eating and the way in which your body deals with food stuff, again, that's about a 3 to 6 month deal to settle down. You've got to be followed by a dietitian. That's part of treatment for eating disorder. So you have a real structured plan so you don't stay on those fluctuations of intake.
Yeah.
Because that will perpetuate all this stuff.
Just reading a crazy letter I got from
is this
crazy.
A stalker for you?
Yeah.
Did you meet her at Havasu?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and?
Yeah, we hung out.
Oh. Ooh.
She seemed to have had a good time.
Oh, let me see this.
Yeah, read it. I didn't do anything with her, so you can read it out loud if you like. I don't care. When I was in Lake Havasu, when was I there? Like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
We had a little party. And this blonde girl.
You're someone who I've been wanting to meet for a very long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's like a 6'1" blonde 22-year-old girl was sort of, she had a little stalker in her, but she was friendly enough. And
Sobfest.
Oh, I
guess. Apologize for my sobfest at the end of the evening?
I was sleeping during that. Apparently, she was crying on the bus.
Why?
Well, because I was sleeping. And you know what it's like when I leave at the end of the night for you.
I know.
Oh, my God. It's just pretty emotional. Thinking for a night that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
What happened?
All right. So here's the story.
What the hell?
Okay.
You're not going to tell me anyway.
Well, no. I'll tell you everything you want to know. I think you've tried to get a hold of me. I can be kind of hard to reach sometimes.
What happened? Come on.
First off, I'm going to kill all the writers on the man show because I think you've tried to get a hold of me means they've been calling her.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Either that or they wrote this letter.
No, this is her. They just, well, I've got to look into that. No, this is her. This is, they've just been calling. I know they got her phone number. Okay, here's what happened. I went to Lake Havasu 3 weeks ago. We had a party the last night we were there. Basically, as luck would have it, the 35 19-year-old guys who all look like Jeremy McGrath showed up, and four chicks. She was one of the women. she just basically, it was like a deer in the headlights every time I was talking to her. And it was weird. It was like out of a movie.
You know? She was so freaked out about meeting you?
Yeah, she was like, oh, my God. Yeah, it was like, you know, I usually don't get those kind of fans. You know, I get the one show you do is decent. The other one sucks.
And you're the funny guy. And
yeah, and you're not as ugly as you are on TV.
Taller.
Yeah, it's like I get sort of the lukewarm fan. But she was really, really a fan, and she just sat next to me the entire night, just with her eyes like wide open, just staring at me the whole time. And I was just sort of being nice to her and talking to her. But and she was like 6'1" and blonde and good looking. But I didn't want to do anything with her because I thought she'd go nuts or something. I know that sounds weird, well, but what is this? If I'd kissed her, then she would have moved out to California. I really think so. Mm-hmm. So I did nothing. So at 4 a.m., I decided to call the night. So I went into my room to go to bed, and then at like 4:15, 4:30, the writers came and woke me up and said, she's crying out in the lobby of the hotel. You got to come talk to her. She's really upset, you know. So I got up and went out and talked to her for a couple of minutes, and then I like gave her a hug and said, I'm going back to bed. And then I went back to bed, and man, she went onto our bus. We had this like rock and roll tour bus, and with some of the riders, she ended up sleeping on the bus on one of the bunks and was up crying all night about me or something, and then left in the morning before I got up.
What do you see in Anna?
That
is sort of scary behavior.
Well, she's real cute and seemed nice and everything, you know. Now listen, and you know, Drew, I've seen your stalker. She's that 10 miles of bad road. 285 pounds. This is this
one. Stalkers go, yeah, okay.
Yeah, this is stalkers go. This one's a 6 foot and all blonde. Yeah.
By the way, your manager's called.
Mm-hmm.
Drew's in trouble.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It was today.
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
You're both off the hook. Actually, it's next week.
Oh, is it?
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah. Oh. What is what have you become?
Never freak me out like that again. I've never been late or missed anywhere in my life.
Oh my God, we're just talking about politically incorrect. I thought I was going to Playboy Mansion, and here's you know it's time to kill yourself when the 6'1" blonde 22-year-old stalker is really a thorn in your side. And yes, you don't have to go to Playboy Mansion tomorrow night. Yeah, go home. I can masturbate and eat a TV dinner. Yeah,
you're gay.
All right, Drew, what do you say we celebrate by eating some microwave popcorn?
And we'll sword fight.
Yeah, with P. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll speak to Rachel. I'm in. I can live again.
Relief.
Rachel, 18, heard that the alcohol reduces the effectiveness of birth control. We'll talk to her about that after this. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla, the newly rejuvenated, I should say, Adam Carolla, and that is Dr. Drew, the off-the-hook Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191, and Lit in here tomorrow night, Stone Temple Pilots in here Wednesday night, Busy Phillips in here Thursday night, so plenty going on, except for tonight, of course. Rachel.
Yeah?
You're 18.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I was just wondering if alcohol reduces the effect of birth control pills, and what does?
What does?
Like, what reduces the effect of them?
Antibiotics typically do. Almost any medication can.
What is alcohol?
If you use it heavily, it could, but I don't know that it's ever been measured how much it really affects them. You would sure expect that if it significantly lowered its effectiveness, you'd see a lot more problems on college campuses and that sort of thing.
I also, one of my professors said that St. John's wort does also.
Does what?
Reduces the effect.
That makes sense. Yep.
Okay, so is that like an antidepressant or something?
That is an antidepressant, and antidepressants can interfere with the pill.
It's only if you like take a lot of it, though, right?
The St. John's wort?
Well, any type of like alcohol or...
The alcohol, probably, but other pharmacological agents, no, you don't have to take a lot.
Hey, Rachel.
Uh-huh.
You're 18, baby.
Yeah.
You take the pill, you know, smoke a little weed, have a beer in the park once in a while.
Mm.
All right, baby?
Okay.
You take it easy with everything else, all right?
All right.
You're 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You're not taking St. John's wort, are you?
No.
Yeah,
okay. All right.
Bye.
You got professors at junior college?
What? No, I don't go to junior college.
Oh, you're out of school?
Yeah.
Oh.
What, are you're going to regular college?
Yeah.
Which one?
University of Michigan.
All righty. Go.
Wolverine. No, it, I should say.
Wait a minute. No, yeah, that is Wolverine.
Yeah.
All right, baby.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we go through there. We have dinner next to that train station.
Oh, yeah. Where were we?
We were at Eastern Michigan University.
Yeah, that was a good time. That was a good dinner. I remember it was a nice... Oh, wait, that train station? No, I'm thinking of something else. Yeah.
When the train went by, it was like this far away from the...
Yeah. It was good times anyway.
Yeah.
Tanya?
Yeah.
You're 28?
Yes.
What's up?
Oh, I just have, like, I don't need any medical advice. I just have the situation, okay?
Go.
Kind of a weird situation. Okay, well, me and my fiancé were going out for about 2 years, and he, long story, I'll make a long story short.
Way to make that story short, by the way.
He had an internet problem, if you know what I mean, you know.
A porn internet problem?
Yeah. And he had gone home, to visit his family, and he had happened to go to a bar, and some guy was wanting to know if he wanted to make a video to make some money. So he came home, and I had no idea what was going on, and he ended up making a video with my video camera of people in their rooms, like, you know, having sex and things like that, and then going on the internet and having, you know, net meetings with other girls and things like that. And he made a video of himself doing things to himself and things like that. And we have a 2-year-old daughter, and we're separated now, and he's acting like nothing happened, and he's acting like a real jerk. And I was just wondering what you guys thought, how I should handle this situation.
Well, does your daughter spend time with him?
Yes.
How much time?
About 40%.
Uh-huh.
Unsupervised?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, he's a very, like, normal person. He had a problem. You know, he had a problem, you know, he's not like a weirdo or anything like that.
He had some other problem too?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
What are you referring to?
You keep calling it a problem.
He went to counseling and things like that.
What was the problem?
I don't think it's a child pornography problem.
What was the problem he went to counseling for?
I don't know, adult sexual.
Okay, compulsion and addiction.
Yeah.
Is he an addict in any other way?
No.
Really?
Perfectly normal in any other way. I had no idea.
All right.
We were together for about 2 or 3 years.
Here's one of my concerns.
I have no idea.
One of my concerns is that people who are sexual compulsives very frequently, or not infrequently, have been sexually abused in childhood. And people who are sexually abused in childhood have about a 60% chance of abusing children.
Yeah, but
hold on, 60 sounds bad, but it still means there's a 40% chance he's not going to rape you, darling.
Yeah, I don't think that he's like that.
Okay.
And I wouldn't let him take my daughter
here's the acid test.
Hold on, Tana.
Uh-huh.
Your antenna ain't so good.
Right.
Because you had a kid with this guy, he was your fiance, and you just got done saying that for years you had no idea what he was like.
Well, it was for a few years, yeah, two years.
Okay, 2 years. You started a family with a sex addict.
Yeah, but...
So your gut feeling on guys, whether, if I didn't think he was safe enough for my daughter, I wouldn't... You ain't a good yardstick to measure people by, are you?
Oh, yes, actually, I am.
You are?
Yeah.
How'd you miss it so badly on this one?
How'd 2 years slip by with the sex addict?
But it doesn't mean if...
Oh, except for that. Okay, except for that. Oh, no, except for that, yeah.
Never having a kid with the crazy sex addict.
Well, here's the acid. Here's the acid. The acid test.
I'm not trying to defend him, but just because he's a sex addict doesn't mean he's going to abuse a child.
Here's the acid test.
But listen, would you rather leave your guy off with a sex addict or an arsonist? I go arsonist. Hey, wait in the car while I burn down this apartment building.
I have gone through exactly what you guys are thinking, and I seriously doubt.
All right,
well, the question is, the question is, this is what will redetermine the probability of this guy being that kind of person, is were you sexually abused as a child?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything was good with you.
And he wasn't either.
All right.
You don't
know that for sure.
No, I don't know that for sure, but I am pretty sure that there's nothing to do with children.
Okay. All right.
Is he manic depressive?
Okay. No.
All right, listen,
it came out of nowhere.
I believe you. All right, doesn't really interest
me. I'm a good mother, and I'm a good sense of people, and
I know.
you know, and then believe me, I would not.
Listen, I don't think you're giving yourself credit when you say good sense. I'd say impeccable. You were engaged to a sex addict and a kid.
No, I'm not anymore.
Okay, there you go. One more argument for your impeccable taste.
I just wanted to know what you guys... Okay.
Well, we just told you.
I've gone through what all you guys are saying. Okay, I just want to know what I should do now.
Well, listen, you trust this guy.
Yeah.
100%, so what are you worried about? Give him a kiss. All right?
No, I know.
Sure.
No, I would never take away the daughter.
Good. Very good.
You know.
All right, just be more careful next time, that's all. Hey, he's in counseling, fine.
He needs to be supervised, and if you have concerns, you got to appeal to the courts.
Yeah.
Okay, but you don't have this.
You don't have concerns, though, so enjoy.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye. She called because she seemed like she had concerns until we brought up her concerns, and then she didn't have the concerns anymore.
Who wouldn't have concerns if they're doing all this weird crap?
Well, just because you bring a couple of strangers back to your house and videotape them having sex, and
set the camera up for yourself and send out to your friends.
Hold on. Set the camera up on yourself, and you're filmed doing things to yourself.
Yes.
Quote, things to yourself. That suggests that there may be some problem emotionally.
Yeah, by the way.
Maybe some problem. And then the next sentence out of he videotaped himself doing things to himself is, I'm a pretty good judge of character. And listen, everybody, here's my thing. It doesn't take 10 things to make you nuts in my book. One will do. You kill somebody, fine. You're nuts. Or you're dangerous. You know what I mean? It's just one thing.
Yeah.
Videotaping yourself doing things to yourself, done.
Yeah.
Something's up. The one thing. I don't care if everything else you do under the sun is perfect and in accordance with the Bible. That one thing, deal breaker.
Yeah.
That's enough. You videotape yourself doing things to yourself and put it out on the internet. Fine. Good enough reason not to be alone with the little girl.
Yes.
Diana?
Hi.
You're 18.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I don't mean to gush, but I really have to say that you guys are really incredible. And, Dr. Drew, you deserve so much thanks for what you do and your website.
Oh, thank you.
It's just both of you guys are amazing, and I really appreciate your answer a lot. I've been listening to you for years, so.
Great.
You see it in.
What about my website, imnappingfoff.com? Have you checked that one out?
No, but I've seen The Man Show.
Oh, okay, very good.
Excellent.
Thank you,
excellent.
Baby.
Excellent.
You're not from Lake Havasu, are you?
No, I'm from Seattle.
Yeah, I was just kidding. That was Laura.
All right. Okay, it ain't bad. All right, so.
Having a fan?
I should protect her, freeze her, or something for the future. Hey, what's up there, Diana?
Basically, I've been struggling with anorexia for about 4 years now, and I don't remember I don't remember being able to eat normally, and I wonder if people really get over this.
Some people don't. For some people, it's a chronic condition. In fact, many.
Uh huh.
What does that mean? They just it just kills them eventually?
No. It's something they have to deal with to a more or less degree of intensity over time. In other words, there may be periods of time when you don't think about it, you're eating normally, but stressors come on, your mood starts to have problems, and all of a sudden here comes this thing again.
Yeah.
And it may go on for a long period of time, and you've got to constantly have ways of dealing with it to keep it in remission.
Okay.
You do that, Diana?
Whether it's going to support groups or meeting with a therapist or meeting with a dietitian, having a lot of structure around really helps.
Okay.
All right. And it's like dealing with any other chronic condition sometimes. You just have a blood pressure problem or something else. You'd have to be treated regularly for it.
Okay.
All
right.
Don't feel bad about having it. This disease is all about feeling bad about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So don't heap that on top of already feeling bad.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks a lot.
All right. Hey, don't sound like you're going to cry.
I'm not going to cry. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
I don't feel bad about myself.
No, I love you guys.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, baby.
Bye.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. And, you know, I would say that everybody has some food issue.
Yeah.
And it's just like 1 to 10. Some people are 10. No one is below 1. Most people are probably 3.5 or 4.
Yeah.
There's not a person I know doesn't think, geez, I shouldn't be eating that, or I ate too much of that.
Yeah, it feels a guilt and remorse.
Too bad, I should have done that, I'm not going to do that again.
Or binge on chocolates and things.
Yeah, I have, like, spaz out, you know.
Where everybody vomits and takes a bunch of laxatives, right?
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
All right, thanks very much.
No, but that's right, but people do have, there's a threshold afterwards, so it becomes a disorder.
Right.
It's like other forms of substance use, too. And, they're genetic.
Yeah, there's other forms of substance abuse. It's just there's people that have never had a drink or never done a line of coke. Or this is something that everyone does and that I think everybody has some issues about. And at one time or another, and it's just a matter of where the threshold is. Jessica?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
You having thoughts of hurting people?
Yeah.
All right. Why?
I don't know. I've been obsessed with knives for like 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
Oh boy.
And like it's scaring my friends around me and stuff.
What, do you carry a knife?
No, but I've tried to hurt somebody. I almost chased somebody with a knife once.
You really?
Yep.
Oh, all right. Well, hold on a second.
Okay.
All right, because we got to take a break.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to come back. And don't stab anybody. We're only going to be gone for like 4 minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right, and then we'll tell you what you need to do, all right?
Uh-huh.
All right. Jessica's on hold over there. We'll take a little break. Drew, do you have to start gearing down, slamming the coffee mug, the headphones are off? You're backing out of here. You're out.
I got to pee.
Wow, again?
Yeah.
You got a real problem.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back after this. Yeah, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Just let a world-class fart go in here about 30 seconds ago. But no smell, just all sound. Right, Drew?
So far, yeah.
That's right. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191 when we left off. Again, Lit in here tomorrow night, and then Stone Temple Pilots in here Wednesday. When we left off, we're speaking to Jessica. Jessica's 15. She fusses over knives a little bit.
Sounds a little aggressive and hurtful.
Sounds a little dangerous. Jessica?
Yeah?
Where's your dad?
In the living room.
Okay, dead? No, still alive?
Yes.
Was anyone violent with you?
I don't think so.
No? Right. Where do you think you get your violence?
I don't know.
Where did you learn that? Did you ever see people being violent?
Not really.
Well, what do you mean, not really?
Sometimes my dad would be, kind of.
Your dad would be violent.
That's,
yeah.
That's what we figure.
With you or you and your mom?
With my mom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of way it happens. All right, so what happened with the one time when you thought about stabbing somebody?
There was some girl I didn't like, and I don't know, she just got on my nerves, so I got a knife, and I was going to go chase her, but they stopped me.
Who's they?
My mom and my friend.
Oh, that's good. All right, well, you know it's a little problem, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to work out well, you and the knives thing. It's not a happy marriage.
Don't get in the gangs.
Okay.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah, be careful who you're hanging out with, and listen, you got to get a little counseling if this anger thing is going to be too much. Here's the deal. It's just, it's not going to be good for you, and it's not going to be good for whoever you stab. But ultimately, it's going to screw you up.
It may feel good in the moment to sort of release all that anger in some way, but understand that you have to numb up a lot of other parts of yourself in order to carry that out. And those are the parts that are hurting so badly and are causing all this rage in the first place.
Do you have friends? Do you have people you can talk to?
Yeah, my friends, but they're kind of scared of me, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what about, you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
What about just knowing what you're doing and not doing it?
Find the other ways to act that out, maybe sports or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, full contact kickboxing or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
What? Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm telling you, I've been around boxers my whole life. They're amongst the mellower people you're ever going to want to meet.
And they're killers.
Yeah, they're killers, but they're so... Listen, if you beat the crap out of one of those heavy bags for an hour a day, you're done. I mean, it's all out, whatever it is. You got kind of wrung like a sponge, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, seriously, I know it sounds kind of ridiculous, but... What about, swinging a heavy bag in the garage or something and banging on that half hour a day?
It sounds okay.
Or just going for a 5-mile run or something. Just, I mean, you got to, like, blow off steam.
Mm-hmm.
It does help you, especially if you're angry.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you do that?
Okay.
Well, listen, if you want to stab the bag, fine. All right?
Uh-huh. So I should, like, be out for it?
Yeah. I would, yeah. Why don't you talk to a counselor at school? Just tell her, just say, you know, you find yourself thinking angry thoughts sometimes, and you don't like that, and you don't know what to do about it.
Indeed.
What's that?
Why not?
Oh, all right.
I don't know.
Trying to stay somewhere?
You're 15. Why aren't you in school?
Because, I don't know. I didn't go to school a lot, so I don't go anymore.
Right.
Well, just because it's...
Doesn't someone want you to go to school?
Huh?
Don't they ask you why you're not going to school?
No.
That's pretty heavy, Jessica. How are you going to function in the world without some ability to join society?
You're not homeschooled, are you?
No.
What do your parents think about you not going to school?
They don't say anything.
Okay. Hey, Jessica?
Huh?
You're going to have to take care of yourself a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to see about getting back in school.
Yeah.
Your parents may not care. Unfortunately, and I know that's the amazing. Source of some of your anger.
That's
a lot of your anger.
Amazing to me. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, my parents are that way. Jessica?
Yeah?
You're going to have to take care of yourself. I'm sorry. But don't take care of yourself by stabbing somebody.
Okay.
Get yourself some help.
Okay.
Go to school and enroll.
I will.
The faith of yore, you'd say, well, join the military.
Yeah, but she's 15.
But you know what I mean? That's where that energy would go.
Right.
Yeah.
Kill some Germans or Japanese or Koreans or Vietnamese.
Then come back and beat the crap out of your kids.
North Vietnamese. Not all Vietnamese. It's important to make that distinction. So the South Vietnamese, those were our allies. All right. Nicole?
Hi.
Nicole, you're 19. What's up?
Yeah, my boyfriend, I just lost my virginity, and he wants to have anal sex, but I heard that it's outlawed in Tucson, and I want to know if that's true.
Yeah, Tucson.
Yeah. Yeah, federal marshal's going to bust right out of your closet the second he answers you.
I didn't get that whole concept. I was just like, I don't know if that's true or not.
Arizona has some weird laws. That could be one.
Well, listen, there's a lot of stuff on the books from a lot of years ago.
Uh-huh. Nobody bothered just to take away.
Yeah.
By the way, would you like to be the state senator that stands up? Because, excuse me, I have a motion.
Yeah, you'd be known as the guy who made anal rape legal.
It's like an Ally McBeal series, you know?
But, I mean, listen, there's a lot of stuff that says, like, you know, when you're elected to city government, you get a pig.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was put there with the best of intentions 140 years ago.
Yeah.
It just seems a little dated now.
But you had just lost your virginity?
Yes.
What's with this guy that he's
moving right ahead?
You guys at U of A or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get why he wants to. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that.
And then stay with that thought.
Okay.
Uh-huh. How long ago did you lose the virginity?
2 months ago.
Right. 2 months. And he's tired of the intercourse already, huh?
I don't care if I'm bad or what.
Oh, so women, geez,
I love when they do that. Yeah. Oh. God bless you.
Okay.
Yeah.
When we were down there, did we get a bunch of questions about this? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But listen, are you at the University of Arizona?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Go Wildcats.
Okay, thank you.
What does he do?
He goes to the U2.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's a freshman on the football team.
All right. Well, that's where he gets his confidence. All right, listen, slow down.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
It's not that you aren't good. There's
okay.
Nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Nothing.
Thank you.
All right.
Wait, Drew.
Yeah.
I think you're so attractive. I know, you know, all the girls call and say Adam's cute, you know. But I think you're...
What nice, really nice of that be, Drew.
Adam is really cute, too.
Yeah, but Drew's hot.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, he's hunky. There was no doubt about it. I admit that. Lindsay?
Huh?
And he blows a mean schwanz, too, I'll tell you that. Lindsay?
I'm here.
Yeah, you're 18. What's up?
I just had a question about one of my friends at work had been discussing the option of her getting breast implants, and she was saying that insurance only covers breast reductions if you have back problems.
Right.
And that's something that I've been experiencing the last year and a half about. And I did not know if it was true, and if it is possible to go about doing it, I am 18, if it's possible to go about doing it without family finding out. And so obviously they'd find out after, but the whole process of going through it.
What size are you?
About a
34D. Nice.
Right.
Yeah. And what size the rest of you?
About a 5, 6, 7, 8. not that big. But
5'6", 7'8"
Size 5'6".
Ah, I see. Where's the 7'8" to?
You're 5'6". Where's the 7'8"? How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, I ain't Helen Gurley Brown here. You know, you say 5'6", 7'8". I expect the next word to be Shamil Shamazel. That's ever incorporated. I don't know what 5'6", 7'8" means. So, what are you? How much you weigh?
What do you got, doctor?
Wait. Shush up. How much?
About 130.
All right, hold on a second. All right?
Okay.
All right. We'll always get back to the boobs. We got to take a break, though, right?
Okay.
All right. Hang tight. 34D. There we're talking. We'll be back after this. Yeah, this bloodline of Adam Pearl. That is Dr. Drew over there. Ooh, a little lower back. Drew.
What's your guess?
Oh, is that? No, I swear my back is killing. What is it when you got the lower back pain, but it's off, it's quite a bit off to one side?
It's not, somewhere.
Not in the middle.
Right. Well, it's supposed to be on the side.
Oh, it is? Good. Yeah, just like right there.
That may be sacroiliitis.
Uh-oh. Sash problems?
Yeah.
Not really. That's where I've been paining myself all day, right there.
Right here?
Yeah, right in there. Yeah,
sacroiliitis. But it also could be some referred pain from the back.
Yeah, I just screwing around my house the whole day. Yes, yeah. All right, where the hell are we? Oh, yes, yes. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-1. I just stood up and Drew pushed on my back, by the way. 1-800-LOVE-191.
And by the way, my neck is still screwed up from hitting heavy bag with you in October.
Oh, really?
Is that pathetic? That is truly lame.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone gets sore doing that than me. But if I walk down a flight of stairs, I get sore. Lindsay?
Uh-huh.
All right, so 18.
Yeah.
34D.
Mm-hmm.
Nice rack.
You say you're coming in at 130?
Mm-hmm.
You think it might be more around 140?
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
No.
All right. 5'6"?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a little bit shorter than that.
But, because size 7'8" is not... not petite, is it?
Huh?
All right. So you want to get a breast reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you're only 18.
Yes.
Because your back is hurting.
Yeah, and it's just really uncomfortable, and my back has been giving me a lot of problems lately.
Right.
The low back?
Shoulders more. Mm-hmm. My shoulders just really slump, and it hurts more than kind
okay.
of...
Well, that's the deal with needing breast reduction for that kind of symptom.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't you want to tell your family?
I don't know. I just don't. They know I've had back problems, but they have never really related it to this. And
what if you went in and had somebody go in with you to see the doctor, discuss with the doctor the probability that it's from your breast,
mm-hmm.
and let the sort of discussion flow from there and let the doctor present the options?
Yeah, I would probably feel more comfortable just taking a friend with me.
Your parents, whose insurance are going to be using?
It would be under my parents, but okay. I would wait until it's under mine through work. I get insurance.
Okay, well, you do as you please.
That breaks my heart, but all right, Lindsay.
Mm.
All right?
Just more out of, I think, embarrassment, I guess.
Oh.
There's really nothing there to be embarrassed about. But
yeah. What's up with your parents?
Nothing. I mean, we're really close, but okay. I just would, this would be something kind of...
Interesting. Okay.
All right, but if you're really close, this is a legitimate procedure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can.
All right. It's not like you're getting a Clint ring or something. You need to come in and sign off on it. All right, nice laugh. I can see why. All right. Hey, Lindsay?
Uh-huh.
No, you're good.
Okay.
Go in and get a consultation, but don't do anything too hasty.
Okay.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Send a picture. All right, let's keep moving and talk to Cheryl. Cheryl's 14. Cheryl?
Hi.
Hey.
Dad, could you leave the room?
Uh-oh. I feel like I'm going to get into trouble.
Uh-uh.
Do you get that when there's someone's dad's in the room? Like, oh, boy. Like I'm 15 and calling him from the treehouse or something?
Yeah.
All right, what's going on in the background there? Local news?
Yeah.
Don't have to turn that down a little bit later. The trailer's not that big.
I gotta turn it off. Hold on.
Yeah. All right. Sorry about that. I understand some confusion there.
Hi.
Hey, you know what's funny? When you travel a lot, you turn on the local news. I always look at it and go, it's not the real news. You know, it doesn't feel real.
Right.
It feels like you know, when you're watching a movie and there's a news segment in it.
Yeah.
They got a guy that looks just like a newscaster and a chick of unknown yet suspect nationality sitting there. I always wonder, it just always feels like I'm watching a movie. And so therefore, I don't believe the news. And then they start talking about, they'll go, there was a shooting today, the Pennsauken Mall. And I'll go, I don't know what that is. It doesn't exist. All right, Cheryl, where are you calling from?
Washington.
Yep, see?
Whereabouts?
Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Yep.
And mental note, what's with the obedient dad? KW, I'm talking on the phone.
Yeah, did he scurry right now?
Yeah.
That's a good dad. What's up with you?
Well, I'm clinical depressant. Dad, please leave.
Oh.
Come here and give me a hug. Yeah.
I could, like, turn it off for you.
That's more like it. And by the way, if he leaves, he's going to be sitting right outside the door listening.
Be nice to your dad, would you?
Are you going to go upstairs? Bye. Okay.
Are you going to go upstairs?
Yeah.
Well, that's a you time bust, out right there.
You bust your ass all day. You put a roof over his head. You put food in his mouth. And he repays you with this kind of sass. Son of a bitch.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, he's listening outside the door, so don't worry.
All right.
Okay, I'm clinical depressant. And I take Paxil.
Okay.
And I forgot to take it for a couple of days, and I've been getting really dizzy.
Oh, it is awful, Paxil withdrawal.
Yeah.
And dizziness is the experience people have. You've got to take that medicine.
Yeah, it's really bothering me, and I can't walk.
That's one of the reasons I don't like. Paxil is a good medication for certain things, but I've always prescribed with great concern because the withdrawal is very uncomfortable.
Well, didn't your doctor tell you you couldn't get off the stuff like that?
Yeah, but the thing is, it doesn't work. I'm not feeling any change. I'm always unhappy.
Well, you may need a different medication, but you got to come off very slowly. At least go down to 10 milligrams first.
All right. I'm on 40 right now.
Then go down to 20. Stopping 40 is a pretty big drop.
All right.
Okay.
And then my other question is, I'm bisexual, and there's my girlfriend that I was going out with for about 2 months, she killed herself. She slit her wrist, and it was really sudden because her and me were really happy, and I don't think I'm asexual anymore. I mean, I'm completely turned off to girls. I can't stand to be around them, and I don't even want to be friends with them barely anymore, and I don't know what to do.
It's understandable after having a huge loss like that that you'd have a change in your feelings, your ability to tolerate being around people that remind you of that girlfriend. But look, all we know here, Cheryl, is that you are very confused.
Yeah.
You don't know what you are. You're 14. Why don't you just be nothing for a little while? Why don't you be a kid?
But that's the whole thing. For a while, I thought I was a lesbian, and now I don't like either one.
That's not a bad place for you right now.
Yes. Just be in that asexuality purgatory, that androgynous eunuch purgatory that Drew resides in.
Yeah.
For a few years.
It's not so bad.
Oh, listen, you're 14, baby. Drew, what the hell were you doing at 14? You know what I mean? Or were you making declarations about your sexual proclivity?
Are you kidding?
No, I was 14. I sat down. I took a good long look down the road, and I thought that I'm not going to. Poontang path is thousands of miles down this road. I do not run into the Poontang cross section for many, many, many miles. So I'm just going to look at the ground and walk. here's what I want to say, and forgive me for sounding old fashioned, but. We talk to people all night long, 13, 14, 15 years old. They want to know about threesomes. They want to know about anal sex. They're bisexual. They're gay. There's a lot of questions that need answering this week about their sexuality. And here's the thing. When you're 14, when you're 13, even 15, you're not supposed to have a sexuality. I mean, yeah, you beat off a little bit. Sure, you got a picture of 98 degrees up in your bedroom to look at and fantasize about at night if you're some young girl or whatever. But that's kind of it. Whether you're lesbian or not, we'll figure. You got years to feed. I mean, you might as well pick out a major for college
right.
while you're picking out a sexuality
that's
at 14.
Right. That's right.
Just forget it. I know all you women think you're going to be veterinarians, by the way, because you love horses so much. That's my favorite part about reading any any bio on a model or playmate or anything like this. Wanted to be a veterinarian. It's what stupid chicks do to make themselves seem smart. Studied to be a veterinarian. Let me translate studied to be a veterinarian. Wanted to be a veterinarian in the seventh grade and attended the seventh grade. You know what I mean? Therefore, through sort of process of elimination, because you have to complete the seventh grade in order to move on to become a veterinarian, was training to be a veterinarian in the seventh grade. The fact that she dropped out of 10th grade of high school is neither here nor there. So
it drives me crazy about the ones that are being physicians, too.
Oh, yeah.
Was Robin Gibbons?
It drives Drew insane.
He's a medical student. Freshman chemistry. Okay, college. Is it?
Junior college, freshman.
No, Stanford, but freshman chemistry.
Drives Drew insane because every third supermodel we have on the TV show on her bio says was pre-med. Listen, I was pre-med before I started cleaning carpets.
I was pre-astronaut.
Yeah, I was pre-pirate, pre-med, and pre-professional football player.
Yeah.
I've been pre-everything in my life. All right. Now I'm just a little premature. Let's talk to Elise. Elise?
I'm here.
You're 21. What's up?
I'm going to try and make this as simple as possible. A couple of years ago, I met my boyfriend, and we had a great relationship. I got HPV. And
you got the warts?
I didn't know I had it. At first, I went for an annual, and they said that I had precancer cells. And
how do you know this came from him?
Well, we don't know where it came from.
So you might have got it from somebody else first.
Right.
You may have given it to him.
Probably did.
Okay.
All right.
Because they didn't, I went to Planned Parenthood. I did the whole, you know, going and having cryo and all of that. And then, much later, they found out I had HPV. So they've treated it all. It's all pretty much under wraps. But in the whole process of that, a lot went wrong. We moved in together. Our house burned down to the ground in the middle of the night. We moved out of there. We lost everything. And he started drinking a lot. In the last year, it burned down May 1st of last year, and in the last year, he's probably put on 45 or 50 pounds. And he's working 70 hours a week, so he's extremely stressed out. Our sex life is, out of all that stuff, our sex life is the reason I'm calling.
Right.
When we got together, we had an incredible sex life.
Yeah.
Now, it's maybe once a week, and...
Mm. You're getting close to national average there, by the way.
Oh, God.
I had 3 days of it. You're in there.
But he's really sensitive about it because he's developed a problem with his stamina, and I
don't know why that's funny to me.
Well, I put that to the weight problem. I don't know what it is, but I mean, sex now lasts about a minute to a minute and a half. And he says he's really tender to the touch afterwards. Like, there's not going to be any... you know, afterplay or whatever. That's it.
Well, hold on there. You get a minute and a half a week. What are you complaining about?
You're killing me. This is not funny.
Wow. I wish I could do that minute thing. That'd be great. Yeah. All right. So
could be is he on medication?
No. And I've talked to him about getting counseling because it's been such a stressful past year.
What does he do for a living?
He manages an auto parts store.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That's not bad.
No?
No.
It's not stressful in the sense if you look at it, but he stresses out about everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's good, but you get 30% off alternators.
So he's depressed and overwhelmed and alcoholic.
I don't know whether to call him an alcoholic or not. The only thing that we've ever thought about is his alcohol problem. So I would tend to call him one, but he says he's not, which is typical of an alcoholic.
Alcoholism means a continued progressive relationship with alcohol in spite of consequence. And one of the areas of consequence would be relationship.
All right.
So there you go.
Wow. Hey, Elise?
Yeah.
Hey, you're 21. You seem like you've seen a lot in your 21 years.
I feel pretty grown up.
Yeah. All right.
I still feel like a kid, and I don't want to be dealing with.
Well, listen. Tell him you guys got to get, or he's got to get into some counseling. Otherwise, it's over.
Gotta go. I'll tell you what. First of all, let me ask this: is his? He's got a mom or dad as an alcoholic?
I don't believe so.
Grandparents?
I don't know them to be alcoholics, but he has relatives. All of his uncles and aunts have drinking.
All right. There you go. Okay. So he's got the family history. He's got all the features of it. That's it. That's the disease. So what you need to do is go to Al-Anon. You go to Al-Anon, you start working the steps, you get a sponsor, you go regularly. That has the highest probability, believe it or not, of actually getting his attention and causing him to make change. Because what will happen is he'll start growing in the Al-Anon recovery process. And it's actually quite enjoyable. And as a result of that, he will get scared. He'll see you sort of growing away from him, and he will realize he has to change because you're already on your way out. Not leaving, but you're just sort of growing away. And believe me, alcoholics frequently, that gets them.
All right. And listen, ladies, unfortunately, you are the... You're the foreman, you're the principals, you're the camp counselors of relationships. Because guys will keep packing on the weight, keep down in the booze. You'll go from a minute and a half of sex a week to a minute and a half of sex a month. He'll just keep spiraling down. He'll not want to talk about it, and he'll just keep pushing you out. And that's what guys do in relationships, especially young guys. You're the ones who have to create some consequences and bring them to bear, because otherwise... We won't do it. Guys inherently do not want to fix relationships or discuss them or go to counseling. It's just it's a gene that guys have, and it's even stronger when you're 22, 23 years old.
It's the same gene that makes them roam and whatnot. It's that I got to withdraw. I got to be by myself. I'm irritable.
Yeah, you start calling the guy out, and now he stops talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Starts avoiding you. But listen, girls, you got to do that. Sorry. It's your job. We're just not that interested. It's not that we're not interested. We just can't.
We're lame, yeah.
Well, listen, we no sooner can do that than we can breastfeed.
Yeah.
It's just certain things you've got to do that you're better at than us. And, you know, there's some noise in the night. We'll get up and go check it out. Other than that, you do everything. That's it. Relationships. Justin?
Yeah?
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
I get really, really bad headaches ever since I was, like, 8 years old. Where the light just makes this kill me, and the sound.
Yeah.
And, like, I see these, like, it kind of sounds weird, but I see these, like, floating things.
Yeah.
Are they bright? Are they bright?
Oh, yeah. They're kind of clear and see-through.
Right. That's a migraine. That's a true migraine you're talking about.
Snake, and then sometimes I see, like, flickering spots.
Well, these are true migraines, and there is excellent treatment out there for migraines.
Well, I've never been to a doctor or nothing.
Your mom had migraines?
Yeah, my mom does. My mom did until she moved out when I was 8.
It tends to be family history. But boy, Justin, I wish you could get some care, because the migraine medicines that are out there are extremely effective.
Yeah, see, I take like 4 Advil every day before I go to school, and then when I get home from school, I usually like take 2 more.
Mm.
I've been doing that for like the last 2 years.
That's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's bad for stomach, bad for kidneys.
Hey, where'd your mom go when you were 8?
Well, my dad, like, she was an alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
and my dad, like, she was an alcoholic for, like, 4 years before before my dad and her got divorced.
Yeah.
And then she moved to Lakeside, California.
Yeah.
I still lived in Arizona, in Lake Havasu City, as a matter of fact.
Hey!
Yeah.
I want to give a shout-out to all my peeps over there.
And,
Are you there now?
No, right now I'm in Lakeside.
Right. You like to live around the water.
You know where Castaway Drive is?
Copper Canyon, jump off the
cliffs,
ride on the boat every day.
Is Justin, you know where Castaway Drive is?
Is that over by, like, Jamaica and all that?
Yeah, I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know Havasu that well. I was just there once and I was drunk.
Yeah, I lived there for like 4 years.
All right, so anyway, you got to get some help. You got to get some treatment.
You're with your mom now, right?
No, I live with my dad.
All right. Mm-hmm. Can you tell your dad? I'm sure he knows about these migraines.
Didn't you say mom moved to Lakeside?
Yeah.
Didn't you say you're in Lakeside now?
Yeah, but I stayed in Arizona, and then she, like, moved to Texas, and I moved from Arizona to Hawaii, then I moved from Hawaii to California.
Well, that clarified things.
There you go.
Who are you with right now?
My dad.
All right.
Okay. Can you tell your dad about this and ask to see a doctor?
I have, like, mad times, and my stepmom's, like, a nurse,
uh-oh.
And she always tells me, like, we always are supposed to go, but we never end up going.
Well, you gotta go.
Tell her Dr. Drew said you gotta go.
Hey, dude, you think about the real true migraines can actually restrict the blood supply of the brain and cause small strokes.
Well,
it needs to be treated.
Small strokes is something I'm gonna do when I get home tonight, by the way.
Small ones, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I said small.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, you have to you got to deal with this. And there's all kinds of medications that are out there now.
Oh, the things that prevent them from coming on, the things that abort them once they start.
Never been a better time to be alive and have migraines than now, right?
Yeah, some of these things like the Maxalt and the Zomig, and these are good medicines.
Yeah. You didn't one of our producers from Stone's family inject himself and stuff? See, he has migraines, right?
Yeah. David? I think he's using
heroin. That's right.
Imitrex.
No, he said he rubs coke on his forehead.
Imitrex. That's right.
Crystal?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Every time my best friend gets a boyfriend,
yeah,
I like him. And I don't know if this is, like, normal or what, and I don't want to do it, but I can't help it.
All right, well, stop. It's, you're not being a good friend. Find your own guy.
Like, I don't tell her that, I know, but it's, like, it makes me mad.
Well, do you ever get together with these guys?
No.
All right.
I never tell them. I just, like,
yeah,
weird.
It's a typical thing.
Yeah. Not so abnormal.
So, like, nothing's wrong?
No, just if you act on it, something's wrong. But if you just have those sorts of feelings, it's all right.
You know what's interesting about life? When you're young, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Hey, I remember even up until like early 20s, frequently being attracted to and being enamored with my friend's girlfriend.
Hmm.
My friends were popular, good-looking guys,
mm-hmm,
who had a way with the ladies, even if they didn't have much money in their wallet or anything, drive a nice car or anything. Still managed to get some very beautiful girlfriends who were nice and everything. Always was attracted to them, and I think everyone is this way in high school and stuff. Later on in life, you learn to hate your your friends' partners. You really do. Now I hate all my friends' wives. it's so sad and evil, but it's so true. It's not across the board. I'll leave a little hope out there for if any of them are listening. But my point is, no, they hate me too. The point is I used to love all my friends' girlfriends. Now I wish all their wives would go away somewhere and we could all live together. Drew, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. How does that happen?
When you're 15, the only girls you are close enough to touch are the other guy's girlfriends.
Right.
You know what I mean, there's no in the vicinity with you.
Anyone
in room with you.
Right, right. It's the same reason your neighbor's magically your best friend.
Right.
It's is it just an amazing coincidence that everyone's best friend moves in next door across the street, or is it that you don't have a car?
Hmm.
Think about that. All right, we'll be back. It is Love Line. Adam Brody is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Hit.
What?
Lit in here tomorrow night, and Stone Temple Pilots in here on Wednesday night. Let's get back to the phones and speak to Maria. Maria?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, I wanted to know what would happen if you missed taking two birth control pills. I missed Friday and Saturday.
Double up for 2 days after that.
And, yeah, that's what I, what is it, I went away, so I thought I packed them, so I... Mm-hmm. When I came back on Sunday, I took both of them, and then I woke up in the morning and I took another one. What would happen if you take two? Nothing, no side effects.
You get nauseated sometimes, but you should take two on Sunday and then two on Monday. Is that what you did?
Yeah.
All right, and then you need to use another means of birth control for the remainder of the month, because if you're not taking the pill the way it was exactly meant to be taken, it doesn't necessarily work.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You're 18.
Yeah, I am.
What's up?
I've been at work, and I work in the mall, and I work at a clothing store.
Yeah.
And I started stealing stuff like 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm, boy. What'd you steal?
Just clothes and stuff, because like my boss, I asked my boss for a raise, and he wouldn't give me one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I kind of wanted to get back at him, you know, because I was working for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So
what are you making an hour?
Five minimum wage, $5.75.
Is that $5.75?
Yeah, it's $5.75.
All right.
And, you know, like, then I started telling my friends, like, my best friend Freddie and them, and, like, then I tried to start pleasing them. But today, I got caught.
Uh-oh.
Like, I threw all the stuff in the trash bag, and then I threw it outside, you know. And my boss went outside, got the bag, brought it back in, and when I walked back in, you know, and all my coworkers and stuff were just standing there, like, you know, looking down at me and stuff, and, you know. And, like, this is, like, this has been, like, a chronic problem, you know. I started doing it every day, and it's, like, Damn.
So he knows it's been you now?
No, he doesn't know it was me, but he knows that I just did it today.
But I understand why you bring that up.
Because it kind of was a habit to do it. Like, every day that I
You mean you're not going to be able to stop?
No. I can stop. I mean,
why do you bring up the thing? In the context of getting caught, why was your next thought, I've been doing this chronically?
Like, because I have. Because
okay.
I'm
sorry. Oh, boy. Let me talk to the lamp. Justin?
Yeah, what's up?
Is this the first job you've stolen from?
No.
You've done it in other jobs?
Yeah.
Every job?
Not everyone, but...
Well, not when you work at the douche factory for... most jobs you steal from.
Fertilizer farm.
Yeah. Right. So you didn't have the plastic sewn into the inside of the pant pockets you could steal the douche, but you do have a problem stealing, and it's not just this job.
Yeah.
So you'd like to stop.
Yeah, I do.
All right. Do you think you're a klepto?
I don't know.
You just steal at work, or you steal from your friends,
or other places? Not that bad. I mean, just like from work and stuff.
No, he just hates the man.
Yeah.
Well, stop stealing, because it's going to follow you around. And also, furthermore, though, get a job you like and that you're proud of,
yeah,
and that you feel comfortable about, and that you don't want to steal.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, I understand.
There's something maybe more physical, something you know, we can... Something
yeah,
where it's not...
Yeah, listen, it's not man's work to be putting price tags on sweaters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You need to be out in the sun with a pickaxe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hanging around your ankle?
Thinking like a railroad or something.
Yeah, I guess.
We need to build some railroads.
Yeah, not a good idea.
You know what I'm going to do when I'm in charge? I'm going to build the railroads. It's going to be one big circle. It's not going to go anywhere.
You're going to lock the circle swirling in?
Yeah. It's going to look like one of those things you stare at to be hypnotized. It's going to look like one of those cinnamon bun rolls. It's going to start in the middle. It's going to keep spiraling out. And it's going to go nowhere. I'm never going to put a train on it, but I'm going to put every hoodlum, every troublemaker, and every guy that needs a little energy to blow off on it. About 12 hours out in the sun every day. That's what I'm going to do. Railroad down.
Yeah, you could just do a big circle and have two crews, one that tears up the track and one that lays it down.
Yeah, following, going the opposite direction?
Yeah, behind, following
behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, Anderson, what do you got going there? You pointing at something?
I was just saying how good of Drew to think that. And then when they meet each other, they can kill each other?
No, falling behind.
No, they'll fall behind and tear the tracks up. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. You go that way, I go this way, but that's too productive. Yeah. All right. That's what I'm going to do when I'm in charge. Jake?
Hi.
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I was fingering my girlfriend one night, and the day after, while she was at work, she said that she had to, like, go to the bathroom, like, every 5 minutes or so.
You gave her a urinary tract infection.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You smash around down there, you push bacteria into the urethra, and
right,
that's where they get infections. And she needs to see a doctor, get an antibiotic right away.
Okay.
You can get up into her kidneys, a big mess if she doesn't get treated. But it's a very common thing, and it happens all the time.
All right. Hey, is there any fingering technique that doesn't do that, Drew?
Yeah.
Where is that urethra?
It's kind of inside, so you don't have to smash around in there. It's not doing much for your friend.
Your friend,
your woman friend,
Mr. Vagina.
Yeah, Mr. Vagina. Let's get the book out. Where's
maybe
the book out?
Miss Vagina.
Where's the book?
Oh, you know I don't like looking at that book.
I know. That's why I like bringing it out.
Tell me, Anne, where's your urethra? You got one, right? Yeah. Well, no. What I'm saying is here's the vagina. Then at the top, near the top, isn't the clitoris around the top area?
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, well, it's not right in that part, but it's down a little bit, isn't it?
No.
Right there?
Yeah.
And? Right all the way up?
And I've told you 1,000 times, and you fight it every time.
No,
give me the magazine.
Damn you. Where is that thing?
Yeah, it is. It's right underneath the clitoris.
Oh, yeah. All right, wait a minute. I still don't think that... What's that? How much crap can they pile on this? Is this it?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, there's 60 pounds worth of junk on this thing. All right, open that thing up, and don't let me look at it, because it ruins the sexual fantasy for me, seeing all the working parts inside a woman. But the urethra is below the clitoris, Oh, no. Here it goes again.
Listen, this is the point. There it is.
That's the clitoris?
Yes.
All right, but I would argue that the vagina it still keeps going.
Well, you know what? It goes from here to here. That's
yeah.
The whole thing.
It's just beneath.
So it goes
This is the business end down at the bottom.
Yes. Okay. I'll give you that.
Okay.
There's the urethra right here.
That's how far under the clitoris would you say that is? Half an inch?
Centimeter? Double centimeter?
Yeah, I deal in millimeters and inches. Which one? You said it's half an inch?
Yeah.
And would you say...
Definitely from his picture, right?
Well, no, that's more like a quarter inch.
Okay.
What scale is this vagina? Would you say that's...
half scale.
Like true to life.
Half scale.
Half scale?
Half scale vagina? Let's see. What do you think,
Ann? Yeah.
Is that about half scale picture?
Yeah, maybe three quarter.
If that was full scale, I'd tell you to put a hole in. I'd go to the bathroom. Test it. All right, so, Ann, how far is your urethra underneath your clitoris?
I'd say about a quarter of an inch.
Quarter inch, but that's a quarter. You know, thickness of a pencil is a quarter inch. That seems a little light, doesn't it? Maybe a little more?
Two pencils.
A couple pencils? Two fingers playing? Okay. All right, so anyway, what should you do? You should either go underneath it into the into the hole area there,
yeah.
Or go above it where the clitoris is, right?
Right.
There you go. All right. See, I'm going to find my way around there. James?
Yes?
What's up?
Last week I found a lump in my left testicle, and I was wondering, the only thing I've ever heard that be is cancer.
No, it can be hernias, cysts, veins, all sorts of stuff can get going in there.
Okay.
Is it smooth or rubbery?
No, it's, it just feels kind of, just like a lump, you know?
Is it smooth?
No, it's like, it feels like it pops up, like, probably about the size of a, or half the size of a pencil eraser.
Is it smooth?
I would guess so, yeah.
Okay. Tell me that I say.
I mean.
Well, to be fair to James, you only asked four times.
Okay. A cancer will typically feel like a pebble. Like
yeah,
sharp serves as a rock, like a rock in there.
Yeah, that's what, it's like, well, the rest of the testicle is smooth, and then there's a lump there.
Yeah, but the lump, it can be firm, but if it has a smooth surface to it, it usually is nothing to worry about. But you got to get an ultrasound. You got to have a doctor look at it.
Okay, well, if it is, will they have to do surgery and have it removed?
If it is, that's the usual approach. As you know, Tom Green, just I was involved in the whole Tom Green thing, if you're aware of that.
You were?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And
what were you involved with?
Getting into the right urologist.
Was he not at the right guy before?
He's not the best guy.
What was the story with Tom Green? I know he had a testicle removed recently.
Yeah.
What was the situation?
He just found cancer. He was following your advice to do regular self-examinations.
Yeah.
And came upon this thing, and pow, it was it.
And what'd they do?
Take a testy out and then do a dissection of the lymph nodes in there, too.
So they cut him up pretty high up?
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. He's okay now?
Yeah.
And what were you doing?
Just tell him where to go.
And his manager is our manager. That's where the connection came in. All right. And poor Howard, he saw his cash register heading in the back of an ambulance. He got in that license and started falling. He's not listening.
Every time you go out in the boxing ring, he thinks that too.
Oh, please.
That's your cash register, huh?
Oh, right here?
Yeah.
That's right. That's my face. That's the cash register. Yeah. All right, we're going to see Tiffany before we go to break. Tiffany?
Hi.
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm pregnant.
Fantastic.
No. Yeah. I'm going to get an abortion.
Oh, yeah.
But my boyfriend's in jail right now, and I don't want to tell him that I'm pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether to tell him at all that I'm going to get the abortion.
Well,
what's he in jail for?
Assault.
Of course.
He stole salt?
Assault.
I see. And that's nice, man. And who did he assault?
Some guys.
Oh, I see. Why did he do that?
I don't know. Just fighting.
I see. And the fact that he's in jail for fighting probably means he's done some fighting before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you hooked up with a guy like that?
I don't know. I don't know. I love him.
Well, what's not to love?
What?
scares me when a woman laughs like Arnold
Professor
from,
Face
from Happy Days. You know? All right, man. You have any other kids?
No.
That's good times. And when's he out of the jug?
Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. All right. You guys will be reunited and you'll be pregnant again in no time. Yeah. What do you do for a living?
I work for an airline.
Uh-oh.
What do you do for them?
Pilot.
Reservation.
Okay. Hey, Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
Get that abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell him about it. And he doesn't care anyway.
Okay.
There's my advice. How old is he?
27.
Still getting in trouble, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a great sign, by the way.
I know.
Guys, you know, they have a little extra energy sometimes. A little steam to blow off. 19, 20, a lot of testosterone pumping.
Mm-hmm.
27, going to the cooler for a week because of
the lifestyle.
Yeah, you're
commitment.
Yeah, you're kind of saying I'm in this for the long haul.
What airline do you work for?
Which airline?
Yeah.
Continental.
Yeah, just flew Continental.
Oh,
I heard good things about it.
Yeah, it was good.
I was in Alaska last weekend. Oh, my God.
You flew to Alaska?
The plane's over the ticket booth. Oh, my God. That's what I was going to yell at her about.
Right? Oh, okay. Hey, Tiffany?
Uh-huh.
Sorry you don't work for Alaska. Drew can't yell at you.
Okay.
All right, baby. You sure you don't want to go out with a guy who's not a felon?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm looking for somebody new.
All right.
Oh, you're looking for someone new?
Yep.
Get on the pill, too, while you're at it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right, baby.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
God bless you. I just, I don't know why this popped in my head, and I just got to say before we get a break, but I never get tired of being insulted and outraged when I hear the stories of guys like Ted Bundy siring children in prison. More than one, if memory serves, Ted effing Bundy, who... would put his arm in a fake cast, hover around, you know, spring break in Florida, lure 16, 17-year-old girls away and basically torture them, rape them, and kill them, and did not focus on, you know, 40-year-old prostitutes working the red light district. 16, 15, 14-year-old girls, torture them, rape them, kill them, and did this. They don't even know how many of these women he got to, but it was certainly in the 30s, at least in the 30s. And while he was in prison, he was incarcerated for at least 10 years before he finally got fried, which is the good news. Got himself married, had himself some conjugal visits, and has himself, I think, has a 19-year-old daughter now. When as a society do we think it's okay? I mean, when can we finally say at a certain point, hey, you're not getting laid. You've raped, tortured, and killed too many teenagers. The line is 25. You did 37. Sorry. You can't bang your way in prison while you're waiting to hit the chair, Ted. Is that okay? Is it all right to have those kind of laws? Do you know what I'm saying? Why does Tex Watkins, one of the Manson family members, have a handful of kids he sired from prison? Do we want guys that are in prison having kids? Serial killers, mass murderers? I mean, how bizarre is that? But here's the real beauty. No guest house above my garage. That cannot be done. That is a mathematical impossibility that the government let me at my own expense, great expense, erect a building on top of a piece of property that I own.
To whatever specification they require.
To whatever specification they require. That, we cannot live in that kind of anarchy. But if Ted Bundy wants to get his goddamn rocks off while he's behind bars, that's nobody's business but his own. And imagine being the parent of one of those 6-year-old children that was raped and tortured by this animal, knowing that he's bumping pubes behind bars, that we brought a woman in and let him have his few minutes with her in the trailer after he got done destroying your life. You know what I'm saying? What is that? Why aren't more people outraged by that? How does that work, and why can't we say no? And why do we have to have laws that are so sweeping? It's like, well, if the guy who's behind bars for selling a dime bag of weed at a Grateful Dead concert gets to get married, then Ted Bundy. Why is that? Why can't we say no? If you're on death row and you're serial rapist and killer, we'll make an exception. You cannot get married. The guy who sold the acid at the concert, he can get married if he wants. What's wrong with that law? Why is everyone? Why does that work? And why would the system fall apart if we made that distinction? Oh, you people better pray I get in charge soon around here. We'll be back.
People are hearing about building codes and pencil pushers and
Jesus Christ,
death row inmates. And
added up to here with these idiots, government pencil pushing pussies. I mean, insane. I had a guy, I was just telling Drew, when I built my house a few years ago, I had some inspector telling me I had to enlarge my bathroom door from 28 inches to 32 inches because it was code. And by the way, maybe I don't like fat people. Maybe I want a skinny door in my bathroom. Maybe that's my own goddamn business. Maybe when they pay for the goddamn house, then they can tell me. But he said 32. And because I was a contractor, I knew what the 32 was. That's for wheelchair access. They enlarge all doors to a minimum size of 32 inches so that the handicapped folk can make it through in their wheelchairs. I guess Larry Flint could swing by. But what he didn't factor in is there's 86 stairs from the street up to my house.
You would require a crane to put somebody in your house.
True, you've been to my house.
There, I can't make it on 2 feet. I won't let my kids climb your stairs.
My grandmother can't come into my house because she's just not strong enough to make it up all of the stairs.
You mean that works?
Yet, I got some pencil dick telling me that I got to knock open my bathroom door for wheelchair access. I told the guy to kiss my ass, and he didn't want to admit it either. I said, why is it 32? He said, that's the code. I said, why is that? He wouldn't tell me. I said, because it's wheelchair, isn't it? Sucker, driving nuts, these guys. Jesus Christ. We all need to stand up against these people. Misty?
Yes.
We do.
Good.
I mean, listen, next time you get a ticket for going through a four-way stop sign at 4 in the morning on some desolate stretch of highway, we need to say, hey, there's no danger. What about the spirit of the law? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, why we all just turn over and bite it for everybody? You just fight these things. I just stay in my life when I beat that candy-ass jaywalking ticket in the crappy city of Burbank. I just stay in my life. Burbankians can kiss my hairy ass. I'd like to sue you for wasting my time.
Didn't you get in trouble for talking about the judge on the radio?
I talked about all those...